Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we are broadcasting once again from the 96th Nebraska State FFA Convention underway. And as we're doing this program, they are all in session. Folks are finding out some award winners from some contests that took place yesterday. So exciting times. You might hear some cheers back and forth a little bit in the background. Unfortunately, those cheers aren't for Mike Zuzlo and me, but we'll take it anyways, as he does join us with Global Commodity Analytics this afternoon. And Mike, you and I talked on the midday, and I think you brought it up well when I said, what do you want to talk about, specific things for today's show? And you talked about the positivity, and I think right now these markets are so heavy in the chasing of the rumors, the heavy in the what ifs, the hows, weather factors, all these different things that kind of working in. It's nice to be able to say we've got some positive opportunities coming forth with some outside market pushes that could bring us a good April.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that came out of the one of the things that came out of the acreage and stocks report last week, Susan, was the tighter corn planted acreage and a tighter winter wheat planted acreage number. And those factors on the supply side are very meaningful because the trade has been under this impression that we've got too much supply and not enough demand. And the market's been very focused, laser focused on the macro fundamentals of a strong dollar, strong bond yield, Federal Reserve that we're not sure is going to do anything in terms of make changes. And then what's going on in China's economy and will they export deflation all over the world. And over the last 5 days or so in the trade, we've seen new 2024 highs in crude oil, almost new two-year highs in copper, new 2024 highs in RBOB unleaded gas, domestic stocks of unleaded and distillates hitting new 2024 lows in supplies here in this country as of Wednesday's report. And we've got South America back on the radar screen because of not just an attaché report showing a 2 million metric ton reduction in Brazil's corn production, but more importantly, a 7 million ton reduction from USDA's official number of 52 million metric tons in exports. So the attaché went down to 45 million metric tons. That barely got any press or any reaction in the trade at all. And the copper has been going higher. And so we've been waiting and watching for the dollar and the stock market to make their move. Now, all of a sudden, we have new weekly lows in the dollar. That supports the inflationary mindset that is building in these record high gold prices and all the other things we've talked about here. And now we're starting to see the stock markets give way more and take out some recent lows. And that, too, if the stock market starts to give up and suggest a sell signal, that would also suggest to me that inflation is starting to flow through into the financial markets as a whole. So we're kind of building a base here for the commodity sector, in my opinion, in terms of the investment flows. But then we'd have to deal with that avian influenza issue that just essentially was a black swan and came in out of nowhere here. And that's kind of where we sit now as we get ready for the last trading day of the shortened holiday week.
So let's take a look at, I know the Fed Chairman Powell spoke yesterday. I'm not exactly sure where he was at, but I had read that he was talking about those inflationary numbers didn't really materially change and the views of where they're going to go interest rates. And it seems like this market is also kind of waits with bated breath for anything that Chairman Powell might say, especially when we get some ideas on interest rates and will there be some cuts coming our way sometime yet this year?
Yeah, I think that's just perfectly put. It is because we've had several, not just Jay Powell talking around Stanford, I think is where he was. And I think he was on the East Coast earlier this past week or late last week. But we've also got a lot of his Fed governors and presidents going around and talking as well. And it's really giving the market kind of hiccups because they hear one thing and then they hear another. And so the line of thinking right now in the market, I think, is that the Federal Reserve will still make a cut, but will only be one cut now towards the end of the year instead of Powell's prescribed three cuts that he talked about a week ago at his press conference. And I think that's where the market is trying to figure that out. But I would say, again, that the dollar price action, the deficit, the U.S. trade deficit came out. A small business survey by NFIB came out today. these things are starting to suggest that the Fed does need to start cutting rates because the economy is slowing down, and we still haven't factored into the real economy all the rate hikes that the Fed has already done, in my opinion. So I think that's a big deal, and I think this is where it goes back to watching for major lows in the wheat market, and that was another big thing that happened this week. We tested major support, 540 in the soft red wheat and 560 in the hard red wheat. These are very big numbers to me now, given what's been going on here in the outside markets.
The other thing I thought was really interesting as well in some of my readings this morning is, you know, let's talk good news. Let's talk about the fact that Russia is going to be doing some investigations when it comes to the grain trade. This expanding on what I think export quality, I think, is what it's all about. And to hear Russia and investigations into their grain is kind of something different that we don't normally see in these market trades.
No, and I think this is something that maybe you and I have touched on over the past few months, is that how big is Russia's crop? How much more could they have to export, especially at discounted prices, and especially given the fact that they have such high inflation over there domestically? How much more of their energy and their wheat can they let go of without taking their inflation to hyperinflation levels in their own country? And I think maybe we've reached that level. Last week it was RIF, which was a major seller of grains and wheat on behalf of the Russian government. Today we're hearing, especially through an update through Bloomberg, that the Russian government is holding up two Egyptian wheat ships due to a trader dispute due to another issue with another trading firm that works with Russia and is out of Russia, and that being Aston. And I think this is where I believe that we've hit a price level and a time period is probably not going to want to let go of too much more wheat, especially at these prices.
It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Well, on the Rural Radio Network, I'm Susan Littlefield as we're continuing our conversation today with Mike Zuzlo. Mike, again, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And keeping kind of on this positive note that we had from the first half, I found it exciting. I always like when we hear some export numbers, Mike, that are coming out. But when we think of Mexico, we think of Mexico for beef, we think about them for pork, and we think about them for corn. We don't often think about Mexico and soybeans, and it was nice to see 152,404 metric tons went to them for this marketing year.
Yeah, I think that's a really bright spot here, Susan, because we typically don't get Mexico in there for soybeans. And the nicest thing about that is we really need to see some pickup in the demand side of the equation. And I think this goes back to the meal market that's been suffering here recently at the hands of spreading against the bean oil and also a questionable amount of demand just overall because of the excess meal we're probably crushing for the bean oil. And so the soybeans going out the door, I think probably leaves some of that domestic meal supply and probably will get chewed up a little bit faster. I'd like to see more soybeans go south of our border and compete with what Brazil and Argentina may have on the table as well. And I think it also shows that we can be competitive, and it doesn't mean that Mexico automatically goes to Brazil and Argentina, because we are down there in price and our freight rates are very cheap as well.
All right, we got to jump over to the livestock side of the trade action. And this is a topic that, again, this kind of goes back to that whole chasing the rumors and making sure you have your facts in place. And that has to deal with HPAI. This morning they announced another dairy herd infected in the state of Ohio. And, right. You know, so, Mike, this all kind of brings to light, because we've been talking about it for so long from a livestock perspective of what we're going to see with HPAI, as we know about, as I just mentioned, Ohio. But as you look at it as a whole, it's kind of nice to see that the markets have just kind of held steady per se, because it's become part, unfortunately, of what we talk about and what they look at on a daily basis.
I think that's really well said, and I think it's important that we not have to talk about this for very much longer. And I will note that the feeder cattle were able to make new highs mid-session. The fat cattle were not able to make new highs that probably is directly related to the cash differential and the strength in the feeders that we continue to see in the sale barns and at the auctions, whereas the fat cattle, they are starting to give way a little bit with this futures mindset. And I think, Susan, the best way I'd look at it at this point is I saw a fresh Wall Street Journal article come out earlier today talking specifically about the bird flu, talking specifically about the concern that the spread could go from the dairy to the beef cattle and hurt consumer meat demand. And why that is important and why we have to get in front of this, in my opinion, officially from the federal agencies, is that you're talking about 10 to 15% of the total beef supply that we consume as humans is used or brought to us by the dairy herd. And we really got to cut short the idea that there could be human transmission from using or handling raw meat. And I think this is an exceptionally important thing, especially in light of the algorithmic traders we now have nowadays who follow and actually move into their trading programs physical newswire headlines from AP, Reuters, Bloomberg, whoever. They actually trade those immediately as they come out. And so the faster we can put this issue to bed through science, I think the better off the cattle rancher, cattleman and the rancher will be this summer, and especially with that summer grilling season right around the corner now.
All right, but the bright spot, we're going to go right back to positive, has got to be this hog market once again.
Absolutely right. I mean, if it weren't for the $105 summer hogs at this point, I'm not sure where we would be in the livestock sector right now. I don't want to rely too much on the hogs, though, because we have been on a good run, and it's been led by China. And we did see a little bit of a pullback in the weekly export sales today, down about 24% from the four-week average. I'm gonna blow that one off because it was a holiday week, but I would not want to see that continue at this stage of the game, given what we're talking about here domestically.
So what is, as we get ready, we've got about a minute left, what's going to be your takeaway? We've got one more trading day this week. What are the things that you're going to be watching, things that you're really mentioning to your clientele?
Weekly highs and weekly lows are exceptionally important here, given what we're contending with. And I think that's the big takeaway for me this week, Susan, coming back from, as I said, a better supply look after the USDA numbers and what's happening in South America's corn crop especially, and then an improving demand look when it comes to the wheat and when it comes to the dollar getting low, going lower. I want to see that be built upon. And as you said at the very first of our kickoff of today's final bell, we want the month of April to be a good month for the hedger, and historically it can be.
Well, lots of great things that are happening in this trade, Mike, as we get past those rumors that you and I just chatted about. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, globalcomresearch.com is the best way to get information from me all day long. Globalcom with two M's, research.com. Sign up for a free trial there on that website.
All right, thanks so much. Mike Suzzle has been joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.